Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Systemair third quarter 2018 financial results call on the 27th of November 2018. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. I will now hand the conference over to Nikolay Minakshin. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events for future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, and may, and might. The negative of such terms are similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date and to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, future rating, economic and credit conditions, changes in our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. Dear ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your interest in Systemair. Today, Systemair's financial and operating results for the third quarter 2018 will be presented by Mr. Andrey Dubovskoy, Systemair President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Vladimir Strahov, Systemair's Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. With that, I will turn the call to Andrey Dubovskoy.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We are delighted to welcome you and discuss another very strong set of financial results. Our investments continue to deliver impressive operational results. Our portfolio companies are consistently growing faster than the average growth rates within their respective industries. On a like-for-like basis at the group level, revenue was up 14% year-on-year, and adjusted EBITDA was up 11% year-on-year. By comparison, in the third quarter of 2017, revenue and adjusted EBITDA were both up just 2% year-on-year. This robust growth is the result of the quality and diversity of our portfolio, as well as our ability to identify markets with high growth potential to navigate them well. Our key portfolio companies have benefited from positive trends while remaining resilient to economic volatility. For example, MTS has successfully leveraged handset sales to grow data usage and encourage adoption of digital services. During the quarter, MTS delivered a 12% increase in revenue on the back of both strong growth in Russian mobile service revenue and increased sales of advanced smartphones. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 6% as a result of higher revenue. However, the growth was to some degree offset by higher spectrum fees and the abolition of internal roaming. Despite the challenging consumer environment, sales at Detский Мир continue to outpace the market thanks to strong strategy execution and the success of its omni-channel model. For the period, Detский Мир delivered 16% revenue growth due to strong like-to-like sales, increased traffic at stores opened last year, and the exceptional e-commerce growth, especially. Higher revenue and improved efficiency drove adjusted EBITDA 19% higher year-on-year. Meanwhile, revenue increases at Cegeja are driven by positive trends in the construction industry, both in Russia and globally, and the continued growth of e-commerce in Europe, China, and Southeast Asia. During the quarter, Cegeja delivered top-line growth of 28% and EBITDA growth at 81%. The growth was driven by increased production, higher sales volumes, a supportive price environment, and a weaker ruble. Our agriculture holding, STEP, continues to grow rapidly as it benefits from the strengthening of Russia's role in global wheat markets and upward pricing trends. In Q3 2018, revenue was up to 125% year-on-year. The biggest growth driver in the quarter was the grain trading unit that we started developing earlier this year to facilitate exports of our own and third-party grain. Agrotrading has already made STEP a top 10 Russian grain exporter. A recovery in global wheat prices, as well as increased output in the dairy and vegetable divisions, also supported the jump in revenues and a 3% increase in EBITDA. Mitsi also continues to grow apace on the back of stronger demand for high-quality healthcare and deeper integration of private operators in the mandatory healthcare insurance segment in Russia. In fact, in the first half of the year, Mitsi secured the number of positions among Russian private healthcare providers. Congratulations to our colleagues. Mitsi's growth is results of high utilization rates in hospital clinics and inpatient facilities. It was also impacted by the successful integration of regional clinics acquired in 2017. In the third quarter, the top line was up to 57%, value adjusted to EBITDA increased 49% due to revenue dynamics. Our healthcare operator has clearly demonstrated the scalability of its business model, and it plans to deliver further organic growth while also expanding in the regions through targeted M&A opportunities. As I mentioned on previous calls, deleveraging remains a top priority for the group. At this stage, we believe it's the best way to increase shareholder value. Thus, the corporation decided to deploy cash flow to pay down a portion of debt, and we will forego paying an interim dividend. We understand that dividend yield is important for many of our shareholders, and we'll revisit the issue of dividend payments based on the results for the full year. Let me now hand the floor over to our CFO, Vladimir Travkov, who will discuss our financial performance in the third quarter in greater detail, including the additional numbers around the leveraging. After that, we will take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrey, and thank you all for joining us today. As Andrey mentioned, our portfolio companies delivered very strong results in the third quarter. New IFRS standards have had a significant impact on our results across my group, but I will focus on the results excluding the effect of new IFRS standards because numbers that are easier to compare. And on a like-for-like basis, group revenue increased by 13.6% year-on-year to 204.1 billion rubles, with all our major assets leading the way in their respective industries. Group adjusted EBITDA grew by 10.9% year-on-year to 62.9 billion rubles, with an adjusted EBITDA margin of 30.8%. Key contributors to the growth in EBITDA were MTS, with a 5.5% increase, Detskimir, with 18.5%, and Segezha Group, with 80.8%. Consolidated SG&A expenses totaled 39.7 billion rubles. Consolidated SG&A as a share of revenue decreased year-on-year from 20.6% to 19.4%, reflecting a sustained trend of improved operating efficiency throughout our assets. Overall, we saw such improvement at Detskimir, MTS, TEP, and Segezha. At the corporate center level, SG&A decreased by 52% year-on-year to 1 billion rubles due to lower management compensation, a decrease in headcount, and a reduction in other operating expenses. Group adjusted net income decreased to 1.4 billion rubles under the pressure of increased interest expenses and foreign exchange losses due to the ruble depreciation. It was also impacted by high amortization charges resulting from investment programs at MTS and Segezha. Consolidated capital expenditures in the third quarter totaled 32.4 billion rubles, a slight decline of 2.5% year-on-year, mainly due to lower capex at Segezha. Segezha's capital expenditures dropped by 64.6% year-on-year due to the completion of a cycle of significant investment projects. Group consolidated financial liabilities at the end of the third quarter stood at 742.1 billion rubles. And at the corporate central level, during the quarter, we paid out 11.1 billion rubles in debt. This included a reduction of debt used to fulfill the settlement agreement of 5 billion rubles and 6.1 billion rubles of operating debt. Including the impact of foreign exchange revaluation, our gross financial liabilities reduced from 236.9 billion rubles at the end of the second quarter to 228.1 billion rubles at the end of the third quarter. We also continue to de-risk and increase the tenor of our debt portfolio. For example, in October we extended part of the ruble bond issue by 3.5 years during the tender and secondary placement. Currency structure of our financial liabilities also remains comfortable with 76 in rubles. And $250 million of our dollar-denominated liabilities are hedged through market financial instruments. Our cash position increased by 82.3% during the quarter to 14.4 billion rubles. Inflows included dividends and buybacks from MTS, dividends and cash flows from non-public assets, and proceeds from the sale of part of our stake in MTS Bank. Cash outflows included debt repayment, including the Gazprom bank loan and payment in, under a liability to Russian government. Our cash position was also impacted by investments in high-tech startups and European real estate through our institutional funds, as well as high interest payment, SG&A, and dividends paid by Sistema. When seen in the context of our recent debt transaction, we are actively looking for ways to optimize our debt portfolio and take advantage of changes in the local debt markets. In October, the expert RA rating agency raised our rating to RA-, and we believe that the additional debt reduction combined with the growth in the value of the assets in our portfolio and increased cash flows will lead to further improvements in our credit metrics. This in turn will be reflected in further upgrades of Sistema's credit ratings. As I commented, during the quarter, we managed to reduce our corporate center consolidated financial liabilities by 8.8 billion rubles leverage and bring our liabilities at the corporate center down to around 190 billion rubles. By the time we report our full year results. This, of course, is subject to completion of major amortizations, and looking for further ahead, we believe that a comfortable level for us is around 150 billion rubles of gross debt, and we intend to achieve that goal during 2019. However, we will continue to focus on our core activities as an investment company, and if we see lucrative opportunities to create value along the way, we will consider investments as a good use of funds and balance sheet. Thank you again for your attention. With that, I will now hand the call back to Nikolai.
Thank you, Vladimir. Operator, we are now ready to take questions. Operator?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. And please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. We will now take our first question from Alexander Vinkranovich, Sova Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. So two questions from my side. So the first one is on the investments you made in the third quarter. I'm talking about 9.2 billion rubles, which you show on the slide. So you said it's related to investments in high-tech startups and some investment properties in Europe. I'm just wondering what sort of a rationale you have in these investments. And obviously, you continue to have pretty high leverage, and these investments made in the third quarter are quite substantial to impact your leverage and probably take you back from your gross debt targets you've announced before. So how, I would say, how should we look at your deleveraging in this year and next year? Should we expect the continuation of these investments be made by your funds? And also the second related question here, can you give us an update on the total size of the investments made by Sistema funds up to date? Thank you.
Yeah, Alexander, thank you. Thank you very much for your question. Talking about your first question, you're absolutely right. We have, how can I say it, a little bit sizable investments in the third quarter, around 3 billion rubles targeted to our commitment to the funds, to the funds, and also to the retail in Europe, because we have no possibility to stop these operations immediately on the one hand, but on the other hand, we see that it's a good opportunity to increase our activities in this area, and by the way, very profitable area for us. And we are looking for the good balance between the, our investments opportunities and our current liabilities. And based on this balance, based on these activities, we think that's a normal level to invest into this Europe asset and to the fund. And talking about the our leverage, I think it will be better if Vladimir Travkov can elaborate a little bit more deeply.
No, this is Vladimir. As I mentioned in my speech, our target, we are still focusing on deleveraging, and we expect that our debt level before May of 2019 will be around 190. And we'll, and during 2019, maybe closer to the end, it will be around 150. So target still the same. But also, as I mentioned, if we see any lucrative opportunity for investment, we do such an investment as we do during the quarter. That's why you see such an investment during the third quarter. And so we are looking for a balance between the debt repayments and the investment to keep ourselves as an investment company. So that's why we are continuing to invest and to deleverage.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Dilia Ibrahimova of Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions, actually one on leveraging as well. Where, just if we looked at the organic cash flow and investment at the corporate center, where do you think leverage could be by the end of this year and maybe by the end of next year? And also, could you give us an update, please, on the pipeline of, or maybe on investment opportunities, where, which sectors do you think look interesting, or where you think you see there may be an opportunity to invest soon that could complement your current asset portfolio? Thank you.
It's Andrei Dubovskov. As Vladimir said earlier, we are going to decrease our debt till the end of this year around 190 billion rubles. This is a target, but this is our target, but the final data depends on the, our activities in monetization. Talking about the sectors which we are going to invest and what kind of the interest we are looking in the in these sectors. First of all, we are going to invest our traditional sectors like healthcare, like pulp and forestry business, like agro sector, etc. But we are not going to new traditional areas like not going to invest into the new traditional areas like retail or something like unstable. And again, our main investments will be targeted in the telco, agro, and pulp and forestry business, and also in the healthcare sector.
Thank you, and we will now move to our next question from Vyacheslav Dyugtyarev, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the call. A question on real estate. Are you looking for inorganic opportunities in the real estate sector, or you feel comfortable with the organic growth for now? And also separately on that, are you comfortable with the current portfolio of real estate projects, or you're looking for any potential monetization of certain specific projects? Thank you.
Good question, and thank you very much. Of course, we are fully comfortable talking about our current activities in this area. But at the same time, and maybe it's not a secret for you and for all our partners, that we will be happy if our activities will be not limited by our organic growth. We are looking for the good M&A opportunities, and we are looking these possibilities not in traditional sphere of the development business, but in other sphere which will be complementary by to our current assets. And for example, we have a good position in Moscow, but we have no good position in some regions, and maybe it will be a good possibility to increase our coverage across the Russia. Why not? And again, this is a question about the balance between our current organic growth and M&A activities. If some our partners will be ready to talk with us about merging, we are ready to take into account this information and to make a deal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, as a reminder, you may press star 1. And we have no further question at this start. Pardon, we have another question from Igor Goncharov of Gazprom Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity. I just wanted to follow up on a couple of issues that have been discussed before. First, on the deleveraging target, as far as I understood during the presentation, you mentioned that the 190 billion rubles target is reachable by the end of the year, subject to monetizations. I was wondering if how feasible it is to see, or how likely it is to see any significant monetizations. But if I understood you correctly, how likely it is to see any significant monetizations by the end of the year, taking into account that there is not much time left? That's number one. And number two is with regards to the investment, 9.2 billion rubles of investments, which was also discussed before. Can you? Is it possible to get a little bit more information on the investment properties that you are in Europe that you are apparently investing in? What are these assets, and what is the rationale for investing in those? And also, what is the kind of how is it, is 9.2 billion rubles broken down between different kinds of between different directions of investment? Thank you.
It, It's Andrei Dubaskov. Thank you for your question. Frankly speaking, it's very reachable to catch up the level of 190 billion rubles by the end of this year, but at the same time, we understand that it's a target, but that's not the final goal at any time to reach this target immediately. It depends on the final price, and for example, if you can some possibilities, if you can have some possibilities to do it, for example, in January, it will be more profitable for us. Why not? Because honestly, the price is very, very sensitive. It depends on the economic situation in Russia and the macroeconomic situation. It depends on the cross-currency ratio, weaker ruble or stronger ruble position. And I think more interesting for all of us to create a good deal than the create this deal till the end of this year, for example. But again, this target is very reachable to do it till the end of this year. But talking about your second question, so we have no additional comments about this investment activities. But I just want to remind you that we have a lot of assets, and of course we need to support all our activities in these assets, including our daughter company, including our targets to increase our land bank, for example, in STEP, including our activities in textile sector. And of course it leads us to the question, can support our current activities and how we can increase our business in these areas. And this is an explanation why we are why we have this level of the investment activities. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for the answer.
Thank you. And we've no further questions at this time. Please continue with any further points you wish to raise.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone, for participating in our quarterly results call. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact our investor relations team at any time. And with that, I would like to conclude our call and wish everyone a very nice day. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.